Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique, and I thank you guys for tuning in. Happy Self-Care Sunday, and also a very, 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 very special happy birthday to my baby, Bukari Justice. He is two today. Man, I got a freaking two-year-old. Like, it's just still, like, so surreal to me. Like, I think, you know, I'm going to always, especially if he's, like, my only child, I think I'm just going to always be like, wow, I am somebody's mother. Like, it's just, I think, you know, it's a privilege to be a mom. I was somebody's, you know, how do I put this? I was always somebody's mama. As far as I can remember, whether it was my siblings, running at the school program, just being so motherly and nurturing. So, when it happened for me, I was just like, oh my God, this is mine. This is for me. I created this. Like, there were so many moments where I spent a lot of time with myself when I was pregnant. And, I just was like taking it all in, like, wow, like, this is my baby that is growing inside of me. And like, from the moment that I found out I was having him, like, I was just so, like, I was talking to him, like, the moment I touched it and I felt that little lump, because I remember calling my mom because I was like freaking out. I didn't think I'd get pregnant, so I didn't think I was pregnant. And I just remember eating pickles and orange juice, and I posted on my Snapchat, and my two fave cousins, they commented like, bitch, what, you pregnant or something? And I'm like, no, fuck y'all, because I'm like, you know, I can't have kids, you know. And so I was like, you know what, fuck it, let me just, you know, let me see. And so I tinkled on a Dollar Tree pregnancy stick, and let me just tell y'all this, like, and people who struggle with fertility, you guys know how it is. Like, you buy so many and you just always hope, like, you see, like, positive. Like, I forget how the lines go. Like, I'm not going to even, like, what is this, who lines? You pray to see that. And I know I was disappointed so many times, so I just stopped. And so, you know, I pee-peed on a stick and I just got in the shower and then, like, really think nothing of it. And I just remember seeing those two lines and I was like, holy shit, like, what, I'm having a baby. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, and then I'm like, okay, it's a Dollar Tree one, and, you know, it's maybe, you know, because it's Dollar Tree, maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's a false negative. Like, I'm just thinking, like, anything but I'm pregnant. So I call my mom and I'm like freaking out. And so she's like, call your doctor, make an appointment. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she told me to go get a digital one, or maybe I looked it up. It was just so much craziness that day when I found out I was having him. And so, I waited till his dad got home, and, I remember I texted him, and he was like, kind of like shocked. And then he was like, ah, 'cause the same thing, like, I was feeling like, yo, there's no way, we've been trying and, you know, it never happened, and we just couldn't believe it. So we went to Walmart and I got the digital one, and like, instantly, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, instantly I was like, fuck yes, I get to eat snacks and not feel guilty about having a belly. Like, no, I'm serious. So I remember, like, going in Walgreens, did I say Walmart? Walgreens, going to Walgreens and getting a pregnancy test, the digital one, and like just grabbing hella snacks. Like, I remember that, yo. I will never ever forget that day so long as I shall live. And I remember I found out that Monday, and I made an appointment that Friday, and yeah, we listened to the heartbeat. I was 8 weeks pregnant, and like, we were so excited to tell our family. Like, you know, it was a joyous occasion. Like, I really couldn't believe, like, I had a little, I'm just having a baby. It was just so exciting, and like, I'm so proud of myself because I have blabbermouth. Like, I cannot hold water. I'm learning how to not do that. Like, I really think that that's like something that I picked up from my dad. Like, seriously. Because my mom is very tight-lipped about a lot of stuff. And I mean, then don't get me wrong. It's some stuff that she shared with me, but she'll always say this mother-daughter stuff. But my mom, like, she also taught me to take stuff to the grave. So I was like, you know, my biggest fear was that I didn't want to, you know, run my mouth and then it didn't happen. Like, and you know, you're scared, like, because you really do think that, like, oh my God, I'm a jinx it. Especially if you struggle with fertility. So I just remember just keeping it tight-lipped. Like, I told my assistant coordinator, family, and like I was so like tight-lipped, and I got upset. I remember getting upset because one of my cousins, she's younger, she didn't know, and like she said like congratulations, and like I immediately like, you know, reached out to my stepmom and I was like, tell her to take it down now. Like, I just was like, I don't want people to know my business. Like, I understood what my mom meant about like, you, everybody don't need to know your business, you know. Some stuff is just for you and you only. That's like a huge lesson I would never forget with my baby, just like keeping that shit to myself. And so I was very tight-lipped about it, and I remember when I did reveal it, everybody was like, congratulations, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. I remember some of my parents like, girl, you sat at this desk and you didn't tell nobody. And like, for the most part, I honestly stayed in my office. Like, by then I think I was like worn out with running my program. I had been running my program for like 3 or 4 years already. And I think I had gave it my all, and I felt like I was just ready to give it to my baby. And so, like, I kind of felt myself, like, pulling away. I felt myself pulling away from everything when I found that I was pregnant. Family, friends, and, you know, it probably wasn't healthy to do, but my mind just went in defense mode, like, protect. And so, like, that's what I did. And I just remember just sitting in my office with the light off. And I probably was suffering from depression and didn't even realize it at that point. But like, I kind of just stayed to myself because I was so fragile, and like, I just knew, like, I, you know, your baby feel everything. And so like, I was like nervous and I was scared. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, like, even when I was going through those moments of, I guess having the, episodes of depression and just, you know, anxiety and whatever it was I was feeling while I was pregnant and like hiding it and keeping it to myself, like, my baby, I still just felt his energy where he was like, you're good. And even after I revealed him to the world, like, he still was inside of me like, mommy, you're good, like, we're fine, we got this. Like, and it just was an amazing feeling. Like, I never thought in a million years I would be able to carry a human. Like, I just didn't think it was possible. And the doctors never told me I couldn't, but when you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, it's a hormonal imbalance. So it's not a, you know, people struggle with fertility issues. That's one of the symptoms of it. Like, so I just really didn't think it was going to happen. And, you know, again, the doctor didn't say I couldn't have it. Like, it just never happened. And, you know, I think the Most High, because I feel like it just was the Most High's way of saying, God's way of saying, like, you're not ready, you know. It's not time, you know. And thinking back sometimes that I thought I wanted to be pregnant, and I think about the guys that I dated in the past that I was like kind of serious about, and was having unprotected sex with, I think about it, I'm like, yo, I don't think that I wanted to be stuck with them. Like, no, that's some real shit. Like, I don't know if they would have been good dads or not. Maybe, I don't know, but I just know, like, how they treated me, I'm like, I don't know how you're gonna treat my kid. So I just kind of, I'm just happy that, you know, I had him when I had him. I think that his dad is amazing with him. It's their relationship is like, it's so dope. Because I feel like it's important for Black fathers to build that relationship with their sons. Having both a mom and a dad, it's important to a kid. Like, you need that balance, you know. I feel like little boys need that, you know, how to be a man from a dad, but they also need that nurturing from a mom. And, you know, same thing with little girls. Little girls need that nurturing from their mother and how to love from their mother, but they also need, let me show you how a man's supposed to teach you, from their dad. They always say your dad is the first person you're supposed to fall in love with, the first person that's supposed to take you out on dates and make you feel good and make you feel pretty. And so I always said that I wanted that for my kids because I didn't have that, you know. I didn't know. And now I'm in a stage where I'm doing it for myself. And so when I catch myself sinking and getting in this dark space, like, I have to remember that my little boy is watching me. Like, I have to do my best to show him the healthy adult. Some days are better than others, and I still just have to talk myself through it. I just was listening to I was just listening to something on controlling your emotions. And I know that's like one of the things, like, I definitely have to work on. And especially with my son watching, you know, he has to see me be healthy. He has to see his dad be healthy. You know, he's in terrible twos now. And like, he does that, which I know is like, you know, it's pretty normal for that age because they're kids and they don't know how to, you know, control themselves. But I'm like, I have to make sure my emotions are in control. And his dad has to, so that he can see like, it's, you know, it's okay to, you know, get upset. But now you have to not sit in it, but sit with it. Now, obviously he's a baby and he doesn't understand that just yet. So, you know, again, I have to make sure that I'm working on myself so then I can teach that to my baby. You know, it starts with you first. So, again, you know, I'm just excited and happy that I have a little one. But that leads me to segue into what I want to talk about with Self-Care Sunday. So when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how I've been trying to keep myself together during this quarantine. And when I do have those moments where I'm triggered and can't control myself and my emotions, the exercises and the strategies and solutions that I'm learning to I'm learning to use to help me work through it. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. Hey y'all, welcome back. So let's talk about Self-Care Sunday. It's something that I try to do. Let me say this, y'all. I suck at consistency. Like, I'll start something and I'll stop. And what I realize is that that doesn't help when you're trying to heal yourself. I think I mentioned this yesterday, like, it is scary, but you have to keep going, you know. And you can't get the, and another thing is not even it's just being scary, like, you can get distracted, but you have to keep going. Sometimes you might want to do some self-care things and you don't have people to do it with you. You have to get comfortable with sitting with yourself, and being in quarantine is like the perfect, it's like the perfect way to like start. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's like you don't have any choice. It's serious, like a matter of life and death. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't be here and there. And so you really don't have no choice but to sit your ass down. You know, so sit down, be still, be one with yourself. We're so used to like running around and just being all over the place. And, you know, whether we're working and, you know, you're just so used to doing all of that. And now this is the opportunity where you can sit and be still. So one thing I am trying to practice to just do is just be consistent with something and hold myself accountable. And that's the thing, accountability. We don't like to own stuff. We like to project things. And I know that's something that I struggle with, projecting things off on people. It's, you know, it's my partner fault I didn't get up and work out. My partner's a trainer. If he don't feel like training me, it's okay. All right, let me get boom, pow, snatch myself. It's not really his responsibility to make sure. Would it be nice to have the extra help? Yes, but it has to start with me. I have to be consistent with myself, you know, so then I can't blame it on him. I can't push it off on him. It ain't his body. He good. He's a trainer. So he naturally just going to be on placat cow swole. You know, that's him. But that's not me. You know, so you can't project things on people. You have to do it for yourself. You have to hold yourself accountable and don't make excuses. Either you're going to do it or you're not. But you can't be upset with nobody for you not doing what you're supposed to do. So I think the number one thing when you're starting self-care is holding myself accountable. You understand what I'm saying? So, I know that is just something that I definitely, that I'm working on as well. So what else, guys? I'm learning how to, practice breathing. I know a lot of the anxiety comes from, a lot of times we'll have anxiety because we'll have heart palpitations. Like, when you feel like you're about to have a panic attack, because you instantly, you don't know how to control your emotions. Like, you just let your emotions like take over you. Like, you let them blanket you and you're just like, you're freaking out. Like, oh, like, it's like, you feel like you can't breathe, when literally it's just a matter of like breathing. Again, going back to this exercise I was listening to earlier, or talk I was into, I'll figure out what word I want to use. Like, I was just listening to this, this guy that there, that's better. I was listening to this guy on controlling my emotions. And, one of the things that, the gentleman was talking about was breathing. You know, we forget to breathe. When you panic, you gotta breathe. Like, you see me, like, when I be talking to y'all, I be so frantic and all over the place. And sometimes I lose my spot because I'm like, I'm talking fast out of nervousness. And it's like, hey, calm down. You talking to these people about self-care and you just... So as I'm saying it to y'all, as I'm ministering to you guys. See, look, I'm doing it now. I'm ministering to myself. So breathe. You got to breathe. He was saying breathe, inhale for 6 seconds. So, you know, you hold it in. I mean, you inhale. Hold it for 6 seconds. And then release, exhale, 6 seconds. And it's something that we must do every hour, every day for the rest of our lives. And it takes practice. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanence. Me just doing that just now kind of helped me like breathe. It helped me like relax. I always tell you guys how I realize that I always have so much tension in my chest. Like I feel it in the back of my neck. And when I rub it, it feels amazing because you just have to relax and you have to breathe. Again, this is something that, it just takes time. You know, it's something that, you know, we're not taught this growing up. So, you know, but now so it's that's neither here nor there. Now, you know, we're going to work on how we're handling it now. You know, we can't do nothing about yesterday. I love the quote that says, yesterday is heavy, put it down. I have to constantly remind myself that because I know a lot of my anxiety comes from harboring the past, being repetitive, you know, allowing people to control my emotions. And that's what keeps me there. You know, sometimes I feel like a puppet on strings. You ever feel like that? Like a puppet, you know, like where the puppeteer is just holding you. Like that's what it feels like when you can't control your emotions and you have to be in control of it. You can't sit in it, sit with it. Ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And I know I do that a lot. And I'm triggered easily because I experienced a lot of trauma growing up, you know? So when you come from a household where people yell at you a lot, where, you know, people don't speak life into you, it can do a lot. But again, yesterday is heavy. Put it down. I can't keep, I have to constantly remind myself, we have to constantly remind ourselves, we can't hold on to that. We can't harbor that. We cannot be a puppet to that anymore. Start cutting the strings. You know, it's one day at a time. You know, you're going to be in recovery for the rest of your life. That's just the reality of it. You know, it's not that you're going to get to that space. Don't get me wrong. You just might. But it's very few people in the world who recover from, you know, all the shit that they had to deal with in life. They learn how to sit with it, not sit in it. So, you know, you have to practice. It's something that you got to practice every single day. You know, practice it till it becomes a habit. And again, as I'm ministering to you, I am ministering to myself. I have to constantly remind myself this every day because, again, I am a person who is easily triggered. And sometimes we make stuff about us and the anxiety comes from making stuff about us. And sometimes people ain't even paying attention to you. They ain't even thinking about you. And I have to constantly tell myself that every single day. You know, people not like they ain't thinking about you, girl. Like they, well, sometimes people do something to you and go about their business and you sit in there. You still sitting in there. Like, why did I let them do this? Why did I let them? I am learning how to get in the girl bye and boy bye practice. Like seriously, it's hard for somebody like me who let people control my emotions, but I'm learning how to girl bye. You know, if it don't apply, let it fly. You see what I'm saying? Like you have to do that. And the reality is sometimes we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're around emotionally unstable people, unhealthy adults, but you have to be the healthy adult, you know? And if it's so much as breathing, breathe in that moment, breathe. If you have the power to remove yourself, yeah, excuse yourself. Say, you know what? Matter of fact, you know what? I gotta go to the bathroom. Go in there, breathe. If you gotta look yourself in the mirror and talk yourself through it, breathe. Breathe. I do. Let me tell y'all something. I do that a lot. And I have stickies around my mirror in my bathroom so I can remind myself, you know, you have to breathe. You have to breathe. I have this quote on my mirror and it talks about allowing people to label us. And it says like, you know, and I'm loosely paraphrasing, but when you allow people to label you, you believe it and you sit in that and you wear that and you own that. And that's a form and that can cause you to go insane. You know, insanity, I interpret insanity as knowing who you are, but allowing people to tell you who you are. You guys get what I'm saying? Like, I know who I am. Deep down inside, I know who I am. but these people are telling me I'm this, and that makes you go crazy. So you have to center yourself. You have to become one with yourself. Again, even if it's so simple as excusing yourself and going to the bathroom, looking at yourself in the mirror and talking to that person, saying, hey, you got this. If that's all you can say to yourself, it's okay. Take deep breaths. Take deep breaths. The anxiety also comes from that feeling of not being in control. We freak out when we're not in control. And I know me, the type of personality I have to be on point with any and everything. And the reality is that's just impossible. You don't know what's going to happen every single minute of the day, every second of the day. You just don't know. So you have to be able to control yourself. You have to be able to cut them strings and say, hey, what is triggering me? Why is this person triggering me? Why is this situation that I'm sitting in right now is triggering me? I know for me, I don't like loud noises. I hate loud noises. And I never realized I didn't like loud noises until I started to lose my mind. I started to go crazy and insane. And I literally balled up and I just slept. And I was like, what is one of the things that's like making me like this? And I had to realize I really hate loud noises because my mom yelled a lot. My dad yelled a lot. So, and there were times where, you know, my dad would embarrass me. I remember my dad embarrassed me in front of my friends at a sleepover. I cursed. And instead of him like pulling me in the room and talking to me about it, you don't fucking curse. You don't fucking do that. You're not fucking wrong. You don't fucking do that. Like, that's how he talked to me. And that was so embarrassing. And on some real shit, y'all, I have a picture of me standing with my dad. And he was like, now take this picture with me. Can you imagine how hurtful that is? Again, forgiving my dad because he don't know any better. But me, the healthy adult, is recognizing where the root of the anxiety of somebody yelling comes from. So when he did that to me, when he embarrassed me, when he belittled me in front of everybody, when he did that, it just... it took a lot out of me, and he still wanted me to stand next to him and smile and pretend like I was okay. And when you go back and you dig deep, a lot of the stuff is like, it hurts. You know, it's like, wow, I can't believe that that's why I am the way that I am. But the good thing is that you acknowledge and you understand, you're starting to understand where it's coming from. Yesterday is heavy. Put it down. Breathe in, hold it, breathe out, exhale. Yesterday is heavy. I will not let my emotions control me. I will not sit in my emotions, but I will sit with my emotions. I will be patient, I will be kind, I will be loving. And I'll be forgiving to myself. We forgive people. And we forget to forgive ourselves. A good girlfriend of mine sent me a video. And the woman name escapes my mind. I'm so sorry. But she was talking about forgiveness. And one of the things that she said was that... well, the first thing that she said was that, you know, we'll forgive... you know, people that hurt us, and you know, we'll forgive them. You know, it could be infidelity, they disrespected you, it could be anything. You know, think about something somebody did that was like, you know, wrong to you, you know, and you forgive them. Take that same energy and invest it in yourself. Forgive yourself. You know, we're so hard on ourselves, but hey, listen, the fact of the matter is, you're acknowledging that I made this mistake. I did this. It's okay. You're living for another day. And this day that you're living, it's a day to learn how to correct it and not make that same mistake again. You know, like we're really hard on ourselves. And I know, you know, because I'm hard on myself. Like I will beat myself up. But I am learning to forgive myself. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. You know, we can't. And sometimes we seek validation from people. And no, you have to know yourself, learn how to love yourself, you know, validate your own self, be with your own self. I don't care if you get in the mirror. I know a lot of times, let me say this, let me calm myself because I'm getting excited, because I'm just so excited to talk to y'all. I love y'all. And I'm excited about this self-care episode. Even if you got to look yourself in the mirror, booty butt naked, you probably put on a few extra pounds. forgive yourself. We're in quarantine. Ain't shit else to do. Maybe you don't feel like going for a walk all the time. Maybe you was a person who worked out so much and was running on and go so much that now that you could be still, you say, hey, you know what? I think I like doing this for a little bit. And maybe for you skip 10 days. 10 days you did not work out because you said, fuck it, I just don't feel like it. And you snacked. You snacked. You know, like maybe you ain't think about picking up eating nothing nutrition. Nutritionist, maybe a nutritionist. Nutritional? Maybe, you know, something healthy. Let me not use words that I don't know. So maybe you just want, I ain't eating nothing healthy. I binge the fuck out. I order pizza. I ate Wang's. I ate fries. I've been working out all these years and now I'm like, fuck it. I don't got shit to do. I'm going to sit in the house and I'm going to do this. Look at your beautiful body and say, it's okay. It is okay. We have to learn how to be forgiving and loving to ourselves like we do other people. How many times you forgave your spouse for doing something fucked up to you? How many times you forgave your parents for doing something fucked up to you? How many times you forgave your family, a friend? Forgive yourself. And what happens, and again, going back to the video that I was listening to, she said, what happens, you know, when you forgive them, right? Oh my God, I love you so much. You forgave me. Thank you. They're out of the doghouse. Get yourself out the doghouse. What happens when you forgive yourself? You begin to love yourself. Y'all feel what I'm trying to say to y'all? It's a process. It's hard work. And I'm with y'all. I'm telling y'all, I'm with y'all. I'm with y'all every single day. I'm with y'all. I wake up sometimes, y'all, and my thoughts are negative. And I have to say, hey, cut that shit out. Stop that. And you literally have to say, hey, cut that shit out. Do that. It's your job to take care of you. It's not your wife's job, your husband's job. It's not your mama's job, your daddy's job. It's not your kid's job. It's your responsibility to take care of you. You have to be a healthy you first. Okay, y'all, we got this, we gonna get this, y'all. We're gonna get this. We got this. And I'm saying we, cause I'm with y'all. Some of the things that also help me is journaling. You know, I write down my emotions, how I'm feeling, you know, and I have to check myself because I remember having a conversation with this principal, African-American woman, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. And I was beat down, y'all. I was so beat down. I had went back to work and I was just trying to juggle being in charge of, I was a principal too. So I was trying to juggle being a principal. And when I left, I ended up having a whole bunch of staff that was younger than me. And they was just doing too much. And mentally, I wasn't there. I'm still trying to recover from, you know, being a new mom, postpartum, and whatever else that you have going on with you, you know, when you first have a kid. So I was trying to maintain that and trying to maintain staff, you know, and I didn't have that support from my superiors. So it was a lot, you know, and some of my staff was on board, but then, so it was like half and half, you know, I had half that wanted to work with me, half that didn't. But long story short, I was beat the fuck down mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Because I have a hormonal imbalance, I'm hairy. I got the Santi Shab, look at me, breathe. I had the Ashanti shot. Look, I did it again. Ashanti sideburns. That was a red leather, yellow leather. That was one of them. I got the Ashanti sideburns. I have a mustache. I have chin hairs. I have to keep that waxed. And my eyebrows is on third grade. The good thing is vintage is in. You know, but I was just looking crazy. Like, I didn't have the time. And that was one thing I realized, too. You don't have as much time. You got to get your time management in order when you become a parent. And so I was looking crazy when I came to this principal. And I was just looking at her, and I was just so defeated. You know, like, having my son, like, it really took that last bit of oomph that I had in myself. And for so long, because I didn't have my baby to my 30s. So I was just boom, fly. I was just out here. You know what I'm saying? I worked. Live my life, party, turned up with my friends, was climbing up the success ladder, the career ladder, all that stuff. And then I had my baby and it just knocked everything out of me. And I just came to her like bleeding, like, listen, I am wounded. Like, I don't know you. And she looked me in my face. She said, I know you. I remember you when you was a little girl. You look exactly the same. And that shit just, ooh. That was like, honestly speaking, y'all, in that space I was in, that was like the nicest thing somebody said to me at that moment. Like, I know you. And she was so warm and welcoming, and she reminded me so much of myself. Our stature was the same, like broad shoulders, top heavy, tall, like big eyes, natural hair. She has locks in her hair. And I'm just like talking to her, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I am looking at myself when I'm talking to this woman. And she said to me, you don't have to do the work. I did it for you. I know where you're at. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe she has 4 kids. And going back to my original point with the journal, I had to paint y'all a picture. I'm sorry. Going back to the journal, and she said to me, I want you to, at the time where I was working at, it was down by the pier. So she said, drive to the pier and journal. She said, don't always let your thoughts just be negative. Start with something positive. And so sometimes I'll look at my journal and I'll be scared because I'll be like, I probably had a negative thought. And one day I decided to go in that journal and look in it, and it was a reminder. It was a way to help me control my emotions. And it was a situation that I had a really bad argument with a friend. And I wrote my feelings about it. I expressed how I felt and what it did to me. And at the same time, I owned what I did to that friend. And so when I looked at it, I felt better. You know, I felt like, okay, you know, I stood in my stuff. I understood what I did wrong. And I also realized what that friend did wrong to me. And it really wasn't so bad. And I was like, see, I got all having heart palpitations, but it really wasn't even that deep. So journaling, definitely it helps. You can look on Pinterest. Pinterest has a lot of journal prompts that you can write. Or you could just free write, you know. Listen to meditation music and just jot down ideas. Listen to jazz and jot down ideas. I listen to jazz on Spotify. And sometimes I'll just sit on Sundays and I'll cook and I'll sit in the kitchen, crisscross applesauce in a chair with a book in my hand. And I'll just listen to that. And I'll be cooking and I'll be reading and I'll be recording what I'm cooking and posting it. And that's my self-care. And that's what works for me. A good girlfriend of mine sent me Jhené Aiko's, it's called Trigger Protection. I know she actually has like a song, which is dope. But she also has a meditation, how I don't want to call it. It's called Trigger Protection. And when I clicked on it, it has like this this psychedelic, these colors, like y'all know the psychedelic colors, like all the colors of the primary colors of the rainbow. And you know, if you sit and focus on that, like it relaxes you. And then it was like this music, like singing bowls. And I'm just like listening, and it's like soothing. And in her voice, you know, she has a very soothing voice. And I'm just listening, and she's just saying, calm down, calm down. But she's singing it. She's just saying, calm down, calm down. And I'm listening, and I catch myself processing negative thoughts. And I'm like, hey, you losing focus, focus. And I go back and listen to it. And I calm down, and I calm down. And I'll keep on writing, and it helps. It helps relax. Again. Practice makes permanence. Practice becomes a routine. You have to do it. You have to do the work. You know, for 2 days, you say, I don't feel like doing it. All right. Now jump back in. It's going to happen. You know, as a matter of fact, no, don't. If you feel you need to do that, okay. But don't get lost. Don't just sit there. You know, like, how am I trying to explain this to you guys? I'll say this. I've had my moments where I've had a bad 2 days and I didn't do my self-care. And I had to fight with my mind and tell my mind, like, get your ass up and go do it. You have to get your ass up and go do it. Yesterday is heavy. Put it down. You can't do nothing about yesterday. What are you doing today? What are you doing today to make yourself better so you don't get in that space anymore? Again. Another strategy that is helping me with self-care, and that can help you as well. Going for a walk. You know, even if you don't feel comfortable walking outside without a mask on, put your mask on. Go for a walk. Put some music on. I use count your steps. That'll help you for the people that was like, fuck it, I don't feel like exercising and I don't put on some pounds. If now you feel like, all right, that's enough, I downloaded this app called Pacer, and it counts my steps. It has a GPS. It you can can track your how many miles, how many steps, how many calories. And it's a pretty cool app. And I know for me, I'm that person who needs stuff like that. I'm a person who needs to reward myself. Like that's me. Like that's, and that works for me. So, you know, you can download it. It's Pacer and it's a free app. It's Pacer. Try it. And with Jhené Aiko, for those that don't know how to spell her name, is Jhené Aiko, and it's called Trigger Protection. You can look it up on YouTube, and it's like an hour and 15 minutes, and it's just soothing music. And she's just saying, calm down, calm down, calm down. That's all she's saying. Well, she's saying more, but that's all I can remember. Calm down. Just calm yourself. Breathe in. 6 seconds. I'm sorry. 6 seconds. Hold it for six. Release for six. Even if that's all you're doing, do that. But going back to walking, Pacer app, you can run, go for a jog. You know, you don't have to be Flo-Jo. You don't have to be Usain Bolt. Just jog, you know, or power walk. If you're not comfortable with jogging just yet, power walk. That's what I do. Sometimes I don't feel like running. I've never been a long winded runner. I like to, I've always been a sprinter. So what I would do is, what I did last summer was I started to get in a groove of running, but because I had put it on hold for so long, right now, my body just can't deal with that. It just can't. You gotta know yourself. So what I do is I might pick up the pace a little bit, or, I did it today. I caught myself like walking really, really fast, and I stopped and I slowed my pace as I was breathing. And I was like, well, you know, it's not a race. Just today, maybe you just want to walk and enjoy the environment. Enjoy the environment. Well, yeah. Enjoy your scenery. Do that. You can do that when you're walking. Going back to exercise. When I was finished my walk today, I did push-ups. I did, deadlifts. What else I did? I did quick feet. What do you call it? It's like, you know how you see, I don't know what it's called. When you're like jumping on a step, like you see people like on a bench and they're doing their feet. Oh my God. I did that. Oh, I forgot what it's called. But yeah, I did that. I exercised. That was my self-care. I went for a walk, was gathering my thoughts, working on my breathing. Listen to good music. I listened to Big Frida. I found out that Megan and Beyonce did a remix to Savage. I'm a B fan. I'm a Megan Thee Stallion fan. And I just was walking and just a lot. I'm like, listen, I'm gonna learn these words, because in my mind, as soon as this shit is over and we can go outside, I'm ready. I'm gonna be strapped and ready to go to somebody's club and sing all these words. Okay, you gotta do what makes you happy. Spend time alone. Spend time alone as much as you can. And I know it's hard when you're a parent. And especially it's hard now, because look where we at. We have no choice but to be with our families. If you're not like single or whatever. So, hey, for those that don't listen, go find some time. Go hide in the bathroom for a few minutes. Hide in the bathroom. Listen to your favorite song. Maybe Let It Go for like two times. And if that's all you got, that's all you got. It's okay. That's it. Listen to some house music. Dance naked in the mirror, or just dance in the mirror by yourself. Snap your fingers. I do that sometimes. I promise y'all. I'll put a playlist together, and I'll just listen to whatever's curated on my iTunes, and I'll just dance in the mirror, and I will feel beautiful, and I will tell myself I am beautiful. And it's just it's something that's that simple, you know. If you have time, take a bath. You might just have to get up before everybody else to get stuff done. Do that. You know, if you interested in writing a book, get up early in the morning. I remember watching a documentary on Toni Morrison, and I remember her saying that she got up at like 5 a.m. to do her work, because she had two sons. You know, she got up and got it done. You have to take care of you first, you know. Do that. Get up as early as you can. Get up when you know everything is quiet and still. Even if you just go outside while everybody is sleeping and it's quiet and still, and stand outside and breathe in. Breathe in that oxygen and that good old air. Hey, do that. You know, you just find those times to just be with yourself, to be alone. Create a sacred space if you can. I created a sacred space for myself. My son don't respect it. He don't respect nothing. Kid, he little. He don't understand. He don't respect that. That's mommy's space. But when he not around, I just sit there. And you know what's funny? Sometimes my baby will mock me. And he will grab a book off the bookshelf and like, he'll read it. It'll be upside down. But it's the cutest thing to watch. So that's another thing too. Like when your kids see you be healthy, like they'll mimic that behavior. He don't know that, you know, this is his mommy's self-care, but he'll get in the habit of doing it as well. So, you know, you always have to keep in mind that somebody's watching you, especially when you got kids, your little ones are watching you. So, you know, create yourself a sacred space. I put books in my sacred space. I put plants. I love to buy flowers for myself. My partner's not into stuff like that. You can't expect somebody to love you the way you need to be loved, you know? And I'm in that space where I'm like, I need to work on myself. Like, I need to, this my lane right here. This me. You gotta do what makes you happy. A lot of times we depend on people, that validation and that, You gotta do it for yourself. So I buy myself flowers and I water them. My baby watch me. He always wanna stick his hand in it. And I be like, you better get away before I pluck you. But that's what I do. And I got my little favorite books, like I said, my little yoga mat. I got like my little pillows. And you know them pillows where like when you rub them back and forth, it like change colors depending on which way you rub it. Sometimes that's soothing to me and I just sit there. Sometimes I'll sit crisscross applesauce and binge watch something. And that's my sacred space. If you have that enough room for that, create yourself a sacred space and stay there. Hey, your sacred space might just be in your car. This is my sacred space right now. I'm doing a podcast in my car. I don't want to be upstairs. I want to be here. This is my sacred space for this moment. And this is what I'm doing. You know, you have to be in control. We have to learn how to be in control of ourselves. Again, you can't control everything, but for the things you can control, have at it. Another thing that you could do with your self-care is spend time with your family, spend time with your kids. This is a perfect opportunity. For a lot of us that work, I know for me, I work. So it was hard to spend time with my son because I would be so exhausted because I had to be Miss Tasha for everybody else. Every time I turned around, I was being pulled in 1,000 directions. And so when I got home, I didn't have enough energy to be at home, you know, to play with my son. You know, I had to put a reminder in my phone to give him a bath. Like, because that's how exhausted I would be for working for somebody else. And now that I, and you know what too? When I changed jobs, I was able to really be with him more. But also being home gave me opportunity to be with him more. So spend that time with your kids, man. I pay attention to my son now and I'm like, wow, like, yo, you smart. Like, I really had to realize that my son was playing me a lot of times too, because now I have enough time to watch him and really pay attention and be with him. Sometimes I'll go lay in his room, and I'm not gonna lie to you, sometimes you don't feel like it, because again, when you want your self-care, you want to get away from him or them, I should say, your kids. Like, you want to get away from the little mother lovers for a little bit. But you know, sometimes I'll go sit with him and, you know, we'll chill and I'll sit with him for a little bit, and then I'll go, okay, that's enough. And then I'll go about my business. But spend time with your babies. Play games with your babies. Sometimes I just take him for a walk, and I just let him look outside and see nature. You know, I let him pick flowers and stuff. I let him pick up rocks. I just got to tell him, don't eat it. You can't eat it. None of this is edible, son. But, you know, we go for our little walks, and that's our time together. Read a book. Right now I am reading Ayanna Von Zant's Yesterday I Cry. And when I tell y'all, this book got so many, man, this book resonates with me so much because I feel like I was that little girl just like her. And it's taken me, I should say, on an emotional roller coaster ride, but I'm like, I'm a stick with it. I'm not gonna lie to y'all, it's been like a few days because my anxiety was like so bad that I didn't read. But I said to myself, yesterday is heavy, put it down, and I'm going to go back to reading it. I'm halfway done with the book. I actually had time to read. Now you have the time to actually sit down and read. If you're working from home, get your work done, or however your schedule go, but designate some time to read something good, a self-help book. How often do we read? Think about it. I know for me personally, I loved to read when I was a kid. My mom always brought me Goosebumps books and all of that, and I would just love to read. I remember in high school, like, the thing was Zane books and Sister Soldier, the coldest ones ever. Like, I read a lot. I used to read every Jerome Dickey. I read a lot growing up, like, and I think that helps you with learning how to articulate yourself, writing papers, learning how to be a writer. And when I got to college, it was a lot because, you know, when you're in college, you have to read 30 pages for this class. It was a lot, and I didn't know how to balance that time management initially, so I kind of got lost in it. And then once I graduated, I would pick up a book here and there, but it was like you go straight into the work field and then you become slaves to that. So it's like you begin to lose yourself. And this is an opportunity to get back to yourself, become one with yourself, cut them strings off. Yeah, you feel me, y'all? So read a book. Get a self-help book. Do that. What else? Call a loved one. I talk to my mom maybe like once or twice a week. I talked to my mom yesterday when I went for a walk, and we was just talking, and you know, I was trying to give her some tips on how she can get herself together, because you know, one thing I realized, and I know you guys can attest to this, a lot of times when you're talking to your parents or you're around your parents and you're going through your healing, or you just might just have an epiphany, and you'll say, oh my God, like I act like this because of you. And I was doing that, and I caught myself, and I was like, oh crap, like I gotta really, really work on that, because I see a lot of myself, I see a lot of myself in my mom. And it was an opportunity for me to really dissect it and say, okay, well, tell your mom something that you would tell yourself. And so she was just complaining about her anxiety and how this and this and this and this and this and being repetitive. And I realized I'm repetitive, you know? So I said to my mom, I said, Mom, you know what the solution is, right? And she's like, what Pupinella? Cause she do that too. Like the anxiety and talking all fast and crazy. And I said, Mom, just stop doing it. She like, I know. And then she turned right back around. She told me the same thing over. And I said, damn it. That's where I get it from. Mom, just stop doing it. She was complaining about how she has spent money, and she is like, I keep spending money, because my mom is, she's a germaphobe, and she obsessed over things, and so she's hoarding food right now. She's a food hoarder, and so I'm on FaceTime with her a lot, and I'll see her, like, she'll show me her food, and I'm like, Mom, you got food to last you and my baby brother for days. Like, dude, what are you doing? Stop. Just stop. Stop buying stuff. Stop buying hand sanitizer. Stop buying mouth. My mom's a home healthy. So she has access to gloves and mom, stop. That's just the solution. Stop. Because that's what I want somebody to say to me. Hey, stop. You know, like you don't have, you stop being hard on yourself. You know, this is the solution. You know, a lot of times we come with problems, but we don't never want to figure out a solution because we just want to sit in it. You know, like, and we stay there. You have to be stronger than those negative thoughts. You have to be stronger than that anxiety. You know, hey, the solution to my problem is this. And then do it. Don't keep talking about and just stay there. You know, do it. So, but talking to her, it just made me realize, like, yikes. But nonetheless, we still had a healthy conversation. And you know, not for nothing, sometimes when we going through stuff, no matter how jacked up our parents probably have made us, sometimes you still need your parent to, you know, say, hey, it's gonna be okay. You know, I was having an episode yesterday, and so I called my mom, and she talked me through it. You know, hey, she like, baby, it's all right. You know, sometimes you just need that. You know, no matter what type of relationship you have with your parents, you know, I think we just yearn for that. You know, and for me, I'm like, this is a milestone for me. For so long, I held it in. We don't talk about our emotions. And, you know, I took that first step, and it's like, it's progress. You know, we had this conversation back in February, and here we are in May, and it's only going to get better and better from here. And it's one day at a time, one step at a time. So, you know, I call my mom and I talk to her, and we don't, you know, that's how we do it. Call a friend. Sometimes I talk to my friends. I call my cousins. We do one big group chat. You know, this is a lot to be in quarantine. It's a lot, you know. And so, you know, call your loved ones. Say, hey, y'all, let's set up a Zoom meeting. All of us get together. Well, let's set up a whole just a big video group chat, and we all get together. And you laugh and you joke with your family. You know, if y'all like to drink wine and stuff, hey, make sure y'all have y'all glasses ready. We gonna have a jammy jam. I've seen people doing that, and it's cool, because at the end of the day, like, you know, you got to figure out how to make it work. You know, social distancing, but figure out how to make it work. You know, you don't want to close everything out. Y'all feel me? So do that. Call up some loved ones. Hey, what y'all doing? Let's do this. Gang, gang. Yeah. there's always a solution. There's always a solution. Again, y'all, self-care is so, 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 so important. It really is. And
just, it's one day at a time. Even if it's just starting with breathing. Like a lot of times it's hard to meditate because you can't control your thoughts, you know, and sometimes it's easier to focus on one thing. Breathing. I think I did it like 3 times when I was talking to y'all. Breathing. Just breathe. We forget to breathe. We forget the pressure points. Like they call pressure points for a reason. When I was rubbing the back of my neck, I felt it all through my body down to my feet. When I was rubbing my temples, I felt it all by my sinuses. When I was rubbing my forehead, I felt it, and I felt pressure being released. You know, you have to release that. You have to release it. What I am learning is that, going back to just controlling my emotions, you have to... The reality is when people tell you control your emotions, it's really not something that you can like really control. Like I think it's impossible. You just got to figure out healthy ways to release those emotions. You know, that's all you can do. You have to just figure out how to release them in a healthy way. Talk to a therapist, exercise, journal. Figure out ways to take care of yourself. Figure out ways to cut them strings. Don't be a puppet. Yeah, I like talking to you guys. I hope I kept y'all. But now I must get ready for the little one's birthday. But again, y'all, one day at a time, man. One day at a freaking time. I want to leave y'all with something. Let me find it in my phone. It's a quote that I came across a little while back. And where is it? And it goes a little something like this. Someone said, "Don't be afraid to start over again. This time, you are not starting from scratch. You are starting from experience." I'm gonna read that one more time. Someone said, "Don't be afraid to start over again. This time, you are not starting from scratch. You are starting from experience." I encourage you guys to practice self-care. It's important that you practice your self-care. It's important that you love on you and pour on you and take care of you. Be a healthy you. Yesterday is heavy. Put it down. Don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to hug yourself and say it's okay. Don't forget to say, "I forgive you. It's okay." Even if you have to make a list of things you forgive yourself for. And when you catch yourself being hard on yourself, go look at that list. Go look at that list and walk yourself through it. Practice makes permanent, not perfect. I love you all, and I thank you guys for tuning in to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique. Peace, y'all.